What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres, Avs tonight. They'll do it a month from now in Denver as well. That'll be the two-game season series. Speaking of two, it's Bo Byram and Casey Mittelstadt, two of the more prominently talked about individuals for obvious reasons going into tonight.
I talked to Casey Mittelstadt this morning when I walked in. I got to see him, and we talked a little football. He was like, wow, what a game Sunday night. But I meant what a game last night for the Denver Broncos, but he went quickly to talk about the Bills Sunday night.
Well, he's a Vikings guy, though, I think.
I get, but
they're having a pretty good run, too.
They're having a pretty good run, too. But we didn't talk Vikings football. I just thought maybe him being in Denver now would be like following the Broncos. But his head went quickly to the Bills game Sunday night. So I was like, people would be happy to know that Casey's not forgotten, you know, the roots here in Buffalo, and I don't think he'll ever forget. He was beloved by his teammates, by a lot of the fans, and
he loved it here.
And then, look, people always ask me, you live in Buffalo? I'm like, yeah, and you should see the amount of alumni players and people that live in Buffalo in the surrounded area. Why? Because it's a great place to play and I think and to live. And Casey really enjoyed that. So yeah, it was good to talk to him a little bit. He went to dinner with a few of the teammates last night. And he's relied upon a lot with what the Colorado Avalanche have to do now in trying to score more goals.
Take us through the trade though.
The trade. Okay, so Casey Mittelstadt.
And what it is currently meaning for both the teams and the individuals involved.
Well, I like the trade. I really like the trade because I think eventually the Sabres were looking at how can we get Darlene Power and somebody else on the back end to really, you know, you look at the championship teams that have had two and three really, really big stud type players that control the play on the back end. And Bo Byram last year, he came in, looked good. I feel like this year he's looked fantastic. He played with Power early in the year, gave Power all that offensive production and confidence. With Darlene now, they look really good offensively especially. So I think it's been great. And it allowed Casey to just maybe branch out because it was Thompson, it was Cousins, and then it was Mittelstadt. Like, is he a good 3C type of scenario? I know a lot of people right now are going to say, well, probably could be a 2C with the Sabres, Thompson and Mittelstadt, with Cousins not producing as much as the expectations would be. But I think Dylan has played a lot better of late. And Dylan Cousins is, to me, the Thompson Cousins 1-2, down the middle that you would want, and Ryan McLeod comes in really well at three. So I think you could part ways with a Casey Mittelstadt because you had other pieces to come in. A Yuri Kulik, who plays center, was also on the rise. So I think they could see that you could move on from Casey and bring in a player like Bo Byram, and I thought it was a good deal.
Mittelstadt has a three-year deal with the Avalanche. Do you expect Byram to be with the Sabres beyond this year? He'll be a pending RFA.
I think it is going to take and require some work. But yes, I think Bo Byram will remain with the Buffalo Sabres long-term. And I say long-term, this is not going to be a three-year deal for Bo Byram. This would be probably a 6-7, potentially an 8-year deal for Bo Byram. That's what I think would happen at the end of the day. I think that's what Bo Byram wants. He had his three-year bridge deal and whatever. Now he's looking for, hey, I'm putting up points. I'm playing some of the best hockey in a situation where I'm not buying Kale McCarr and Devontae's. I'm getting the ice time. I'm sure he'd like to play on the power play. But I think that will open a long-term opportunity for him, if not in Buffalo, somewhere else. But I would think the Sabres will explore that.
Do you know what the wind chill is right now?
The wind chill is probably not too bad because it doesn't seem to be too windy. I think the wind is coming in on Thursday, though, so be ready
for
that. Well,
there is a breeze, but it's not affecting the temperature too much unless you're right inside KeyBank Center, where it's clearly colder than what it is one block up Washington Street. So
it always happens, and for those that watch us when we are at KeyBank Center, at about 12:20 to 12:30, when the final team, like Colorado today, has gotten off the ice after the morning skate and the Zamboni has cleaned up the ice, mm-hmm. and everything is supposed, they now crank up the cold. So
I got news for you. It was brutal at 10 a.m. So this is my public service announcement to make sure you come prepared tonight.
Yeah, but I will tell you this. When, you know, people come in tonight and there's bodies in the building, it warms up. It actually warms up a little bit more. But, yeah, 12:30 every game day, the cold cranks up so that the ice is in good situation, in good position for tonight.
Apparently, Marcus Foligno didn't absorb the Linus Ullmark Sabres Live.
The bad juju?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
He made an appearance on our last show, and look what happened.
Yeah, oh. Minnesota ended up winning 1-0 that night. And
although he's not much of an empty net player.
No, he is not. Because when he
got
gets
robbed
an
of
empty
a goal.
Net goal, they call an icing that shouldn't have been called. But no, you look around the NHL right now. There is teams that are rolling, and we saw Minnesota.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
We saw Minnesota. They're one of the best.
L.A., Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington, Florida, Minnesota.
Pittsburgh is surprising. They got Florida coming in.
Why is it surprising? Sidney Crosby, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, look at the way they played early in the year, and it was like, man, they looked dysfunctional.
Right.
They didn't get any goaltending. It was bad. And now they're putting together. Do I trust a Mike Sullivan to be a good coach and to sort it out at some point? Yes. Do I think they have the pieces? No. But, you know, with Sidney Crosby leading the way, I think anything's possible. But, yeah, they've won now, what, 4 in a row? Looking to go 5 tonight?
They've won 3, looking for 4 against a team that has also won 3 in a row and is the reigning champs in the Florida Panthers. The Oilers have won 3 in a row. They're up against a Vegas team that lost 6-0 to Utah. Of course, Utah promptly turned around and lost since. So not sure what to expect from the hockey club other than the fact that they will be well-rested when they come here Saturday afternoon because they don't play again. They'll have 4 days of rest before coming in to Buffalo on Saturday afternoon.
Chicago's still a bad team.
Chicago is not worth talking about. The Islanders.
But I'm going to just mention quickly that it's funny. You watch Chicago, and there's a couple of individual on the Hawks that I'm like, oh, I like that player. I like that player. But overall, they're a bad team, and Connor Bedard is not really enjoying himself the same way that he did last year. And he's looking at Macklin Celebrini and San Jose and Matvei Michkov and Philly, and he's like, these guys seem to be having a lot more fun than I am.
Okay, it's test time.
Test time.
It's been 5 days since I've been able to do this to you. This will validate whether you've been doing your homework or not.
Probably not. I was watching a lot of football this weekend, but yes.
Which team is technically the hottest over the last 6 games, and it includes the player on the longest active point streak?
The hottest team in the last
six
games is Vegas?
No.
Okay,
they just lost to Utah 6-0, dude.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it could be 5-1 in the last 6 games.
That would take them out of the equation because 5-0-1 are the Columbus Blue Jackets. No one has scored more goals at home this year than them, and Zach Werenski is averaging 2 points a game on the blue line over an 8-game point streak. I can't stress enough how great this is to see and how tonight, on the heels of last week at home against Calgary, is going to be
emotional.
It's unreal. The Gaudreau family is there in Calgary for this game. Guy was on the ice with the Flames yesterday at practice. But sisters, parents, wife, children of Johnny and obviously Matthew.
I'm telling you this, Duffer. I think there needs to be an award for what Sean Monahan is doing right now for the Columbus,
from
the Columbus Blue Jackets perspective and the Gaudreau family and Meredith and the kids and everything. He's just been unbelievable. And I think there needs to be like a Sean Monahan award sometime.
There have been so many people that have done the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
In Columbus. And that's why I am so happy to see them having these results right now.
Yep.
And
from the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
You, it's not like you get a lot of training in a situation.
Well, hopefully you don't.
No, but life experience, yeah. But I mean, I said this at the time, like Don Waddell's had to go through this.
Yeah.
Right? And he took over, he made, you know, moves to almost just essentially fill in the roster. That's not to disrespect anybody that came in, but you know what I mean, right? Like, you can't replace Johnny Gaudreau, and you were dealing with making a Patrick Laine trade. Like, yeah, that, you know, there's so much. And by the way, Laine makes his season debut for Montreal tonight.
But well, you know, it was like Don Waddell.
Just hang on.
Because of Atlanta, right?
Yes.
The Heatley Snyder and all of that. Like, he had gone through some heartbreaks with Atlanta.
Right.
Have gone through it before.
Right. And so sometimes this can all get lost in sports commentary, whatever. But Don said a while back, you know, like, we'll be okay when Kent Johnson returns. Kent Johnson, I don't think anybody knows this, he has points in every game he's played.
Yeah.
It's not a point streak because it was interrupted by injury. He has 12 points in 9 games, and his recent return has coincided with the Jazz. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, talk about in your first year as manager, knowing, like, what players are capable of. And you heard me say, wait, probably you got tired of hearing me say it the last 2 years. The reason Columbus struggled was because they were decimated like unlike any other team with injuries. And often it was Zach Werenski. Zach Werenski is so important.
Yeah.
He's now in the race. In my opinion, he's going to, if he can stay healthy, he's in the hunt for the Norris all year. It's unbelievable.
He was great at the start of the season. I watched a few games. I'm like, whoa, this is a different Zach Werenski. I called our good friend Jean-Luc Grandpierre,
yes,
who
yes.
does the studio analyst for Columbus. And I said, wow, what's going on? Werenski looks different. He goes, he lost a lot of weight, and he's in, like, decided to go a different approach because of the injuries and everything. And he's looked really, really good. The big thing for me, when I look at Columbus, the last time the Columbus Blue Jackets had success, they had John Torella as their head coach. And then they went the Brad Larsen way. And look, Brad Larsen was a good hockey person, but first time as a head coach in the National Hockey League. And, it, you know, he was trying to develop them into young Sillinger and Ken Johnson and Fantilli and whatever, like these young players, and it didn't go where they wanted to go. Last year they had Pascal Vincent after the Mike Babcock thing happened. They got stability behind the net. They brought in Dean Evason, who he had had success in Minnesota. He's a good, hard type of coach. And Columbus is benefiting from him.
Yeah.
The same way that I think the Sabres, if they can really kind of get themselves going the right way, what Lindy Ruff is trying to do here. This is a different team than we had the last few years. Coaching matters. Coaching matters in the NHL. And I think Columbus and Buffalo and others, right, are proving that coaching matters. Like New Jersey, Sheldon Keefe, coaching matters.
We got a break. Back after this on Sabres Live.
Stop sign.